Well, somebody say, a new strength is coming to my life and to my ministry, and God is ushering me into a new era of ministry. Somebody just go ahead and give the Lord praise. Mark Masson, incredible day number 3. I love the title that Brother Cirillo gave this school of ministry, Discovering Your Ministry. You know, we serve a God that loves to be pursued. The Bible says it's the glory of God to conceal a matter, and it is the glory of kings to discover those things that God has concealed. And I tell you what, God doesn't want it to be a mystery. He wants us to discover the purpose of our life, of our family, of our ministry. And we're going to have an incredible day today.
Amen. And what a discovery when Jesus says, the Spirit of the Lord,
my God,
is upon me, for He has anointed me to do the works of God. And we have discovered that the very same anointing, the very same Spirit is over us. And so as soon as we discover our ministry, we also discover that God has equipped us to do it.
And you know, Mark, what I love about Morris Cirillo is that he's never trying to point us to himself. He's always trying to point us to the Word of God. He's trying to remind us that our teacher is the Holy Spirit. Even when Jesus stood in the temple, the day that he proclaimed his ministry, he discovered his own ministry in the Word of God. In Isaiah 61, he proclaimed, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. You know it because now it's in Luke chapter 4. It wasn't in Luke when Jesus proclaimed it. Jesus discovered in the Word of God his destiny. Brother Cirillo today is taking us into a very precious experience, Mark. We have heard him share this many times. God is using him literally to shake the island of Grenada. And he was in such a place of discouragement. And I love how he just begins to share this discouragement as he began to fall into a little trap that he's going to warn us about today. And it's the trap of comparison. I want you to know God has not called you to be an echo. God has called you to be a voice. You're not the second Morris Cirillo, but you are the first John Smith or Mary Jones or whatever your name is. There is a unique calling of God upon your life. And so today, Mark, I'm excited. Brother Cirillo's message, God has not called you to be an echo, but God has called you to be a voice. We're going to be able to draw some things from the experience and the life of Morris Cirillo. So if you are ready, I want to encourage you to share this stream, share this podcast, share this YouTube video with somebody that you know wants God to use their life like never before. But if we're ready today, let's give honor to whom honor is due as we welcome again God's servant, Dr. Morris Cirillo.
Don't forget the prophecy. It is not of God, man. It is of God. And the prophecy is this, that the structure of the body of Christ is going to radically change. It's going to get back in step with what God intended. Ephesians 4:11. God hath sent in the church, these are God's gifts to his church, apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers, the fivefold ministry. But unfortunately, somebody say the devil's a liar. Unfortunately, there have been 2 weaknesses. One, in the modern church world today, the manifestation of true prophets and true apostles have been extremely rare. self-made prophets. And that's what I talked to you about when we first started. People taking upon themselves callings that God never did give them. Or people who receive their callings from somebody else. You know, prophecy is a very sacred manifestation. I very seldom ever prophesy over anybody. How many people can you go to today that you can actually know are real apostles of God? Not in name, but in actual fact, manifestation, and demonstration. Now, the other weakness is this. That there's been an overall failure within the body of Christ, that when there is a true manifested apostle, and when there is a true manifested prophet, there's an overall failure to give that office as it is manifested in truth. There's an overall failure to give it its proper place. And there's a strong weakness of coming into relationship where we are willing to come under the authority of an apostle or a prophet or one of these fivefold ministries, the pastor. If the structure is going to work, it's going to have to work with the intention that God had for it. And God didn't intend us to be loose, running rampant here and there. And God didn't intend for us to have the disregard that we had as members of the body of Christ for pastors. Amen. Amen. Now, we've got nobody to blame but ourselves, pastors. Because we've allowed ourselves to get under the structure of man. We're organizing according to Washington, D.C., not according to God. God, now please, I don't know. I told you I was going to stand up here and I was going to pray that I could talk to you exactly like Jesus would if Jesus was standing here. Washington, D.C. says you gotta have a board. But I never did find any place in the Bible where God said you had to have a board. And then it's a strange thing. After they get in those positions for a little while, then they know better than the pastor. They know better than the man of God who was called of God to go into that city, who brought the church into being when it only had five members or no members, and now all of a sudden it's got 1,000 find anything to criticize when you were riding around in a Model T Ford and driving an old junky jalopy. But now, because God's prospered you and the church has grown and you got a new Cadillac, you're robbing the people. You don't have to say amen, you can say ouch. If I lose half this audience tonight, you'll know why. Jesus is up here speaking. Oh, come on, don't panic. Give the Lord a good clap for it. More preachers have suffered nervous breakdowns from the turmoil within inside the body, the lack of the willingness of God's people to come under subjection and to come under authority. And we have that problem on a higher level. The ministry of the fivefold church, the pastor's not willing to come under the authority of an apostle. There's a total disregard for the offices that God wants in his divine structure. But I prophesy to you, God's going to have a people. Those people are going to be strong. They're going to be powerful. They're not going to be strong and powerful, brother, because everybody's running loosey-goosey, wild. Well, God can speak to me as well as he can speak to you. Don't you kid yourself. God doesn't speak to you like he speaks to Morris. God didn't speak to the children of Israel like he spoke to Moses. Don't you fool yourself. When we become that body where we're all knit together, every joint supplying what the other joint needs. Oh, glory to God. Watch it, brother. When we are put together under God's divine order of authority, watch out, devil. Look out. Here we come. Oh, come on. Come on. Give him a clap.
I was praying one day, lying on the floor in my hotel room in Grenada, and I was so discouraged. A young man, way back in the early 60s, I felt so down. Now, I'm laying on the floor and I'm having a little talk with God. And how many of you know just a little talk with Jesus will make everything all right? So, anyhow, I'm talking to the big man. I'm talking to God. And I'm so discouraged. And God speaks to me, not audibly, but he speaks into my spirit. And he says to me, Morris, I love you. Why are you so discouraged? The whole island is coming out. The place is turned upside down. The deaf are hearing. People are walking. Thousands are getting saved every night. And you're sitting there, lying on the floor, so discouraged. I said, yeah, I'm discouraged. God said, why? I said, I don't know. Does this sound like you? Are we kind of alike? Huh? Ever do that? You get discouraged, and then you try to find out the reason why you're discouraged, and you don't know why you're discouraged. I had my Bible alongside of me, and I'm hugging my Bible, and I said, you know, God, I said, look at all these wonderful people in the Bible. I said, if I could just be like one of them, I would be so happy. Anybody ever look at somebody in the Bible and wish you could be like them? Huh? Well, I'm glad I'm not alone. So God says to me, who would you like to be like? Now, I'm a young man. Remember, way back in the early 60s. I said, anybody, God? God said, yeah, tell me who. I said, I'd like to be like Moses. Good choice, huh? And God said, why do you want to be like him for? Tell me. I said, well, look at him. I said, Moses was so meek and so tender. And I said, look at the experiences of Moses' life. And I said, look at me, Lord. I said, I'm not as meek, I'm not as humble as I ought to be. Anybody ever feel like that? You're not as humble as you ought to be? Ever feel like that? So God said to me, Morris, my name means Moses in the Hebrew. Moshe means Moses. So that was kind of a slip of the tongue. But he said to me, son, Have you ever directly disobeyed me? And I started to think, and I said, no. I cannot remember a time in my life, even now, 63 years later, when God asked me to do something, no matter how hard, no matter how difficult, no matter what the price was, I never, ever have said no. You just missed a good... No, too late. God said to me, Moses did. As great a man as he was, and as much as I revealed myself to him, talked to him, saw my presence, disobeyed me. God said, so much was this act, I didn't let him go into the promised land. Can you imagine that? After all Moses went through and after all he did for God, you know what God said to me? I'm lying on the floor, crying. He said to me, next. This is a real experience. I said, all right, Lord, because there's a lot of great things about Moses, but this was just that one time. So I said, okay, Lord, forget Moses. I said, let me be like Abraham. God said, Abraham? Now, Morris, why do you want to be like Abraham? I said, well, God, look at Abraham's life. I said, man, this man had a masterful faith. And God said to me, do you love Teresa? I said, Teresa? I said, what has my love for Teresa got to do with my strong desire to have faith like Abraham? Because I don't have enough faith. All right, come on now. Any honest hands in this building? How many of you have ever said to God, I don't have enough faith? So God said to me, do you love Teresa? I said, of course I love Teresa. He said, what would you do if a knock come on your door in the middle of the night? And you opened the door, and there stood three big, husky, strong men, and they barged their way into your house, and they said to you, give us your wife. For a moment, I forgot I was talking to God. I said, you know, I'm thinking, you're God, and you don't know what I would do. I told him, I said, you know what I'd do. I'd pick up the nearest chair, anything I could get in my hands. I said, I'll kill him. I said, Christian or no Christian, make no difference. I'll kill him. God said, I know, Marsh, you would do that. But he said, Abraham didn't. I said, what do you mean? He said he gave his wife away to a ruler to sleep with her so he could try to protect his life. And God said, if I didn't come and intervene in that experience, I would have had to wipe out the whole nation. So all of a sudden, lying on that floor, I thought, well, maybe I don't want to be like Abraham. You know, we want to be like people until you find out some of their weaknesses. Oh, don't look at me with that look. People are not the things that we're supposed to follow, but we do anyhow. You missed a good place to say amen. It's all right. It's all right. So, now God speaks to me again. He says, next. You would have thought that two times, you know, I had enough. But no, because we're human, right? We're human. And I said, all right, God, I said, give me one more chance. He said, all right, who? I said, let me be like David. Yeah, you know the answer to that, don't you? God said, what do you want to be like David for? I said, because look at David, look at the Psalms. I said, he had a heart that panted after you. I said, God, I don't love you enough. I don't search for you enough. I don't cry out for you enough. Anybody here ever say that to God? Well, you know what God told me about David, don't you? He said, you ever kill anybody? I said, no. Has he ever take anybody else's wife? I said, no. He kept going on and on and on. He said, David did, David did, David did. Now, can you imagine, here I am, a young man chosen by God, thrust into the nations of the world. I am conducting crusades that are shaking entire cities, lying on the floor in desperation. And I started to cry. I said, I understand, God, what you're trying to tell me. It's not who we are. It's not what we possess. But it's what God can make of us. Anybody here want God to to divinely intervene in your life and do something for you that will bring honor and glory to His name and enable you to represent Him in the demonstration and the power of the Holy Spirit.
Well, I feel the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. If you are ready, as Brother Cirillo challenged us, for God to use you in the power of His Holy Spirit, not in your power, not depending on anything that you possess, but depending on what God can make of you, I just want to encourage you, if you can, lift your hands in His presence. And by lifting your hands, you're not only worshiping Him, but you are saying, God, I surrender everything that I am, everything that I am not. God, I am yours. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done. I'm not going to walk in fear as I discover your purpose, because I understand you are not putting pressure on me to perform. God, you're simply asking today if we would believe, if we would depend upon you like little children, if we would understand that you're not depending on anything we possess. Mark Masson, we have learned this over so many years between you and I, Don Mandel, almost 100 years standing by the side of this incredible prophet of God. He wasn't born into a religious family or seminary education, but at the age of 2, lost his parents, was orphaned, and he met Jesus, just like the Apostle Paul met Jesus, in an incredible experience. His life, never the same.
Amen, amen. And I would say personally, by spending time personally with Dr. Maurice Cirillo, I can say without error that one of the biggest thing in his life, if not the biggest thing, was the calling of God upon his life. Sure, it was intimacy, sure, it was prayer, sure, it was many, many other things. But the very first one, I think he would place number one, was the call of God upon his life. And each one of us, we have a different call of God. And by discovering our ministry, we are discovering the call of God for Mark Masson, the call of God for Greg Morrow, the call of God. And you put your own name there. And when we discover it, what a word. We are here not to look like somebody else, but we are here to serve in our own office with the anointing and the gift that God has given us.
You know, Mark, that is so powerful. And while you were speaking, I remembered the questions that the Apostle Paul, when he had that encounter on the road to Damascus, just like the encounter that Maurice Cirillo had in the heavens, just like the encounter Maurice Cirillo had in that Jewish Orthodox orphanage. Here was the question that came from the heart of the Apostle Paul, from the heart of Maurice Cirillo. This is the question that God is longing for us to ask. Paul said this to Jesus. He said, Lord, who are you? And what would you have me to do? And you know, discovering your ministry starts by discovering who the Lord really is.
And you know, Greg, what I personally love in the body of Christ, it's to see genuine anointing.
Amen.
The Bible speaks about the manifold wisdom of God. And that's about the church. That's about the body of Christ. You have something unique in you. As your printer thing. How do you say?
Fingerprint.
Fingerprint. You have a unique call, a unique gift in your life. We pray today, Father, that you will help each one of our viewers to discover it. And Father, to bring the glory of God as they walk in it. In Jesus' name.
Amen and amen. And that is what the School of Ministry is all about. You stay connected because you're not discovering somebody else's ministry, but the Lord is taking us into a revelation of discovering the eternal purpose of God, the thing that God has equipped you to do like nobody else. And you may not feel like you have the strengths that you need, but I love what Jesus said to the Apostle Paul when he said, "Paul, my grace is sufficient for you, and I am strong even in your weakness." So you don't let the thing that you fear, the thing that you feel is not your strength, disqualify you from the thing that God is speaking in your heart, in your spirit, over and over and over again. Stay connected. Day four tomorrow, Mark, is going to be incredible. Brother Cirillo literally is going to take us for about 30 minutes into one of the most powerful prophetic services. You know, I watched the entire service before this session today. Tears came into my eyes, and I just said, "God, you are so incredible. What an impartation. You're going to really draw from the riches of the spiritual life of Dr. Morris Cirillo, the riches of the Word of God." One of the things that Brother Cirillo will be saying tomorrow, reminding us that it's the Holy Spirit who is our teacher. It's the Word of God that we need more than ever before. You do not want to miss tomorrow. Bring somebody along to watch, to listen with you. If you haven't got a copy of this little book, I believe that it will unlock an incredible answer for those of us that are saying, "God, what is your perfect will for my life? God, is this thing your will? Is that person your will? Is that decision your will?" Knowing God's will for your life, I believe it'll change your season, so make sure that you take advantage of it. So on behalf of Mark, on behalf of our team, on behalf of Teresa Cirillo, David Cirillo, we just want to say we love you. Miracles happen when someone cares. We care what happens to you. We'll see you tomorrow live from Legacy in Jesus' name.